The champ is here.
Uh-huh.
The champ is here.
I have arrived.
The champ is here.
Holla.
The champ is here. The champ
I'm
going to
kill him with the first verse.
The
and I'm going to bury him with the second.
The champ is here.
What?
The champ is here.
Thinking that you're better than me.
The champ is here.
Nah, boy, playing. There's no rehab. Try to cure my addiction, I relapse. They want me to fall now and stop rap. You still hating on me? Homie, we off that. I got that you know new flow. Okay, let's go. Credentials so overweight that they call me sumo. Mr. Jones, nobody could ever hold this. My words soak through your veins. Call that shit osmosis. Number one greatest, all time hated. Still outspoken, I'm my all time favorite. Almost famous, me, I'm never nameless. Unsigned hype, ain't no other way to state this. Number one record, number one draftee. A one man show, one man army. Your hands can't hit what your eyes can't see. Man, float like a butterfly, sing like me. Thinking that you're better than me.
The champ is here.
Nah, boy, it's plain to see.
The champ is here.
Haters talk when I step in the room.
The champ is here.
Jaws drop when they see what I do.
The champ is here.
Thinking that you're better than me.
The champ is here.
Nah, boy, it's plain to see.
The champ is here.
Haters talk when I step in the room.
The champ is here.
Jaws drop when they see what I do. Oh, fresh, so straight back, no fiction. Number one spots, I don't like contradictions. Illest MC, Dr. Phil couldn't fix them. The answer to your problem, I 76 them. So what if they don't like me, I just stick to my agenda. If you ain't with me by now, I suggest that you surrender. A 2012, the haters and I end they conjectures. This ain't Monday Night Raw, I ain't no pretender. Break the unbreakable, do the impossible. Swag so unique, no one else can make it rockable. I'm highly unstoppable, beating me, that's improbable. Don't try to cut me off, see my style ain't croppable. Blindly, try me, on top is where you find me. Fade away, haters like Jordan in the 90s. I'm like an underdog, your boy can't guard. Not even Michael Vick could keep me in his backyard. Thinking that you're better than me?
The champ is here.
Nah, boy, it's plain to see.
The champ is here.
Haters talk when I step in the room.
The champ is here.
Jaws drop when they see what I do.
The champ is here.
Thinking that you're better than me?
The champ is here.
Nah, boy, it's plain to see.
The champ is here.
Haters talk when I step in the room.
The champ is here.
Sit back and just watch what I do.
And my name is Pam McCray, millionaire mompreneur, and I'm here with my phenomenal.
You know,
PSM.
you got me, your boy Nate McCray, the millionaire mastermind, man. We own this thing this morning.
We on it, right? We on it. We getting it together around here, right? Seems like it was one of those mornings, right?
One of them mornings. I popped in just in time, but guess what? Better late than never. I'm here. Love you, baby. Thank you for getting everything together, man.
Absolutely.
My BFF, man. My partner for life, man. Love you, man. What are we doing today?
Well, you know what? Today, we are talking about something that...
What's up, y'all? We see y'all out there.
Yes,
what's up?
I do believe that we definitely need to discuss, and that's the identity crisis. You know, so many times in life, I think that what ends up happening is we really don't know who we are, right? Mm. And until we fully discover who we are, we can never, ever be who we were created to be, right?
Come on.
And you all know that, you know, I talk about creating some greatness all the time, my mantra, and it was all about discovery. Mm-hmm. And so once we are able to identify who we are and we're not living in a crisis of understanding, you know, the things that we're called to be, our purpose, it gets into so many different things. So at the end of the day, we have to identify. And so today we're going to talk about this crisis that's existing in the world today, in which people are for real limiting themselves, putting limitations on themselves, and not really ever becoming all.
Mm. That's great. No, that's good. That's good. I like the topic. Guys, we are completely unscripted around here. You know, honestly, we talk about things all the time, and we talk about communication around here all the time, because there was a moment in our marriage in the very, very beginning where we didn't communicate. We were both still in shock. We got married very, very young.
Right, we did.
Okay, but we're going to talk about some communication later in the show on the relationship. Right. Yeah, we're gonna talk about that too. Yeah, this is gonna be a good story for y'all, right? Some of y'all gonna be tripping on it. But nonetheless, we're gonna talk about communication a little further down in the show. But Pam, that's a great topic that you brought up today, identity crisis.
Right.
And wow, some things are running through my head right now, because you're right. There's some people out there that actually don't know who they are.
right? That's a problem.
Yeah, I totally believe that it's entirely possible to be an alien to your own self. Totally believe that. So if you don't know who you are, you're an alien to yourself. So let's see if we can help them bridge the gap. Guys, for those of you that don't know what this show is all about, this show is really all about helping bridge the gap. We don't just take you to the bridge and forget about you. We take you to the bridge and we take you across the bridge and to fix the issue. So it's one thing to identify the problem, but it's an entirely different thing. It's more productive to actually fix the problem or help you fix the problem, give you the proper tools. So we're going to try to do that this morning.
Absolutely, because conforming is not an option. When you don't know who you are, conformity sets in.
Absolutely. That's the problem.
So we're going to talk about this.
Yeah, so we're going to talk about this identity crisis. And you know what? One thing I want to add to that, too, because if this is, if we're talking about an identity crisis, man, there must be some identity theft there, too.
Identity theft?
Well, you know, I like to flip that baby over and slap it on the butt on the other side, too, right? So we need to make it cry today.
Some of us are victims of identity theft.
And we're going to talk about that today, too. But before we do that, man, one of the first things that you have to do is implement that three-letter word, right? That three-letter word, which is Y-E-S. And if you don't implement that three-letter word in your life, then you're going to be kind of behind the power curve for a long time and wondering what happened. So, guys, we'll be right back to get into the identity crisis and the identity theft here. Right after this. All right.
Time to get it back.
Yes, yes. So say yes to your life, man. Say yes to your life. We're going to play something for you guys that I absolutely love. It's by my boy Les Brown. Man, one of the funniest guys I know, actually.
You've got to say yes to your life. You've got to say yes. Yes to my dreams. Yes to me. Yes. I can make it. Yes, I can. Doesn't matter how many failures I've made. Doesn't matter how many mistakes I've endured. Doesn't matter about my defeats. Doesn't matter about what I've done. Yes. So you've got to learn to stand up to yourself inside yourself. And short circuit, override that conversation that's always going on. 85% of what that conversation will tell you is negative. It's negative. It will tell you you're tired when you really are not tired. It will tell you you can't do it. It will fill you with fear. So you've got to watch that conversation. And when you find it going on, you've got to stand up to it and say, I'm going to do this anyhow. I'm afraid, but I'm afraid not to do it. And I'm not going to let you stop. Many people go through life never getting in touch with their greatness because of the lack of motivation to push themselves, or because they have not found something that they believe to be worthwhile to challenge them. What contribution are you giving? What are you giving? Many people will leave the universe without a trace. No one will know they were here. A lot of people never take a chance in life. They don't want to take any chances. They want the situation to be ideal. See, that's not walking by faith. That's walking by sight. If I can see it, I'll do it. No. That's a lot of people say, if I can see it, I'll believe it. No. If you believe it, you can see it.
Absolutely, man. If you believe it, you can see it. That's a whole nother show.
Right.
That's a whole nother show. But here, we're going to stay on task today because although this is the realest show ever, unscripted conversations, guys, we bridge the gap here. And guys, go ahead and dial in to the show. Also, for those of you that are on Facebook Live, if you have a comment that you want to actually say on the show, we'll let you say your comment. I will bring you on live. Just hit one once you dial in to the show. So the number to dial in, guys, is 646-668-2564. Again, 646-668-2564. So go ahead and dial in, guys, and you can hit one to actually comment. All right.
So, you know, I think that I'm having an identity crisis right now because I can't identify how these things are supposed to go in my ear. Is it me or am I just a little crazy this morning?
That was a painless adjustment, but some adjustments
are very painful.
Are very painful.
And that's the reason why we end up not identifying who we are, because we don't want to go through that process and that pain and that pressure to become that diamond that we were created to be.
Absolutely.
So that's so true. So when you think about the identity crisis, and I just love how you put that twist on it, and we're going to talk about identity theft, but it's really all about us discovering, you know, who we are, and you know, asking ourselves, because a lot of times we don't understand that to identify means that we really are defining. We're defining who we are. But also, too, our identity is not something that we're born with. It's something that we become a lot of times in life. And so really and truly, I think that what ends up happening and why there's such a crisis in the world is because we don't allow ourselves to figure out who we are, to realize what we have on the inside of us. And then also what ends up happening is we begin to conform to the situations. We begin to conform. And that kind of gets into the identity theft that we'll talk about. But
I like what you said in the beginning, we kind of grow into into our identity. And I want to add a little bit to that, actually, because when we're born, God gives us the blueprint for our lives. Mm. So we actually know how to build the house, right?
Right.
It's all there laid out for us. All we have to do is pick up the schematics and read them and build the house.
Right.
But what Pam is saying is that the reason why we grow into it is because a lot of people don't pick those schematics up, right? So you have to start building. You start building any old house that you want to build, and it's not the original blueprint for your life. So what I want to say is sometimes it's okay to tear down the old house and build the house that God told you to build, or the house that you were supposed to build. The blueprint is there.
Right.
Your identity has been kind of defined. This is the house that your identity is going to live in. This is the foundation that's going
to
be founded on and built on. It's up to you to actually live in the house, build the house the way it's supposed to be, and live in the house.
Right. Design it exactly how you want.
You design it. The blueprint is there.
Right.
What you put inside of the house
is totally up to
you.
That's good. Yeah. I like that. And that's true. And if we look at life as our life, just like you said, it's that blueprint. And now what are we going to do with it? So we have to take the time to really know who we are and know what we have. And then as we begin to know who we are and know who we have and begin to discover the things that we were created to be, then that's when we're able to identify with so many different things. Because if we don't know who we are, we can never give out to the world. We can never operate in what we were created to be. We can never do anything. So therefore, we have to realize that we have to take the time to identify why we're here on this earth.
Right, right.
Otherwise, we're just existing.
And we got some bullet points, because I don't want to miss anything out there. So Pam, I want you to make sure that we hit these bullet points the way they're supposed to be hit. So I want to make sure this is an unscripted show, guys. So we want to make sure that we're actually giving you guys what you need to not just identify the problem, but to get past the problem. Because once you identify it, that's the first part. The second part is the how do I fix it. Some of you are saying, I have an identity crisis right now. I may not know who I am.
Right.
You know,
so you gotta know how to fix it. Right?
Yeah,
and I
can
definitely relate to that, because in the midst of this life, I didn't know who I was. I knew that, yes, I was a wife. I knew that, yes, I was a mother and a daughter, right? I knew those three things, right? That definitely is who I was. But I did not know anything beyond that. I did not know what my purpose was. I did not know what my passion was, any of that. And once I began to really discover what my passion was, then I ended up finding my purpose. But many times in life, we can kind of just find ourselves going through life and not identifying those things. But that was real for me.
How did you find your passion, though? How did you find that? Because I think a lot of people out there right now, I don't know what my passion is.
Right.
I don't really know what my purpose is. And I think that's a normal thing across the board for a lot of people.
Right.
How did you at some point say, you know what, this is what I want to do?
Well, you know what, I always knew that I had a love for helping people. Mm-hmm. Because to the point of that even being a good thing, but also a bad thing.
Mm-hmm.
Because I gave of myself so much to everybody else to where I never paid attention to myself.
Right.
And so that became a problem, right? So my passion was actually becoming a problem because I was allowing it to overtake me. And many times when we have that heart of giving, that heart of helping, we can find ourselves getting ran over a lot, right?
Mm-hmm.
Because we allow ourselves to get depleted and not fill back up.
Mm-hmm.
But once I realized, okay, I love to help people, now I just need to really figure out the vehicle that I can actually leverage what I love to do, but also realize that I got to take the time for me in order to make sure that my cup is full so that I'm not giving out of my necessity, but giving out of my overflow. So it started with growth.
Good. That's good.
It started with growth. I had to become, right?
Mm-hmm.
So I had to identify the things that I had on the inside of me and now begin to grow them. Because just like you said, we can have this blueprint for our life,
mm-hmm.
right? And we can begin to put things in and design our life. But if we don't now get up every day and to build upon those things,
right.
If we don't get up every day and to continue to grow those things, if we don't get up every day and to start to become those things, then it's to no avail.
Right.
And so once I worked on me, that helped me to discover my purpose.
Opened up.
Right, opened up everything.
Up.
Right.
But so before, what you're saying to everybody that you were living, really out of, you knew you wanted to give to people, but
right.
you were really living out of fear because every time you would give, it felt like a sacrifice for you.
Right.
And when you sacrifice so much more, and I can say this there because I know, because I was there firsthand, right? So
right.
I know exactly because I used to get upset, guys. This is the realest show ever. And I'll be transparent with you because I can't help you unless we're transparent with you.
Right.
So I used to get upset with her because she used to give so much to everybody. And I knew that she was giving from an empty cup.
And I didn't know how to say no.
She didn't know how to say N-O.
I've gotten better.
Right? Yeah, she's gotten a lot better. and it's all part of the balancing act that you actually do. You have to learn how to balance your life.
Right.
But the most important thing or the hardest thing for people to realize, Pam, is that you come first.
Absolutely.
You come first. You come before anybody else. When you give out of necessity, it may be okay for you to give the last $50 that you have for somebody, and you have to worry about if you starving for the next 24 to 40 hours before you get more money,
right?
But when you have a family, and guys, a family is not just, doesn't come when you have a husband and kids. A family comes when you have a husband or comes when you have a wife,
right?
That's when the family starts.
Right.
The kids are just an addition to the family. The
right.
family starts when you marry somebody, right? And there's family, you know, other family things of that nature, but when you give out of necessity, everything that Pam does affects me.
Right.
Everything that I do affects Pam. and if I don't take that into consideration,
right.
then it's gonna be a problem. If I tell my boys, yeah man, we can do, let's go down to Vegas, man, and let's run down there and gamble for the weekend, do what we do. You know, and I'm like, I don't even check to see if,
right.
if my wife had anything lined up or what was going on in her life.
Right.
I made
you know what we need, and now we sitting at home not eating. I'm
saying yes to my boys because I don't want them to think I'm a sucker, you know? So I'm saying yes to them, and I go home and say, you know what, I'm going to Vegas, and that's all I can say. The boys said, you know, they want me to go, so I'm going. Now you messed up what's at home. So let's get back to this identity crisis because – you heard, I hear your story. Pam didn't know who she was. She knew that the first phase in her life was being a mom,
right?
Being a wife,
right?
And being a good daughter to her parents, right? And she had all three of those things unlocked, but that was phase one. Some of you are still in phase one, okay? Guys, you too. You know how to be a good husband. You know how to be a good father. And you know how to be a good son, right? So all of those things are phase one, but there's more to you than just that.
Right.
And I'll prove it to you. Because when your time on this earth is done, you stop drawing breath. Mm-hmm. Okay? I believe that everybody is here for a purpose. And until you fulfill that purpose, you don't leave this earth. And some of you are saying, well, what about the people that left here early? What about such and such that they fulfilled their purpose? And that's
right.
all I can say about that.
Right.
Okay? So you got to realize you don't know God's purpose for your life. You don't know God's purpose for another person's life. That's what nobody else can tell you. We can get ready to talk about that a little bit when I send these steps.
Right.
Okay? So for me, Pam and I understand each other's struggle because, A, we communicate. We'll talk about that later in the show. But, B, she understands me, I understand her. So my struggle and issue was that, you know, for all my life, you know, when I, right, even in high school, and I was told what to do, when to do it, how to do it, where to do it, what I was going to
get
paid to
and
do it.
When you went to the military.
Yes, the military was definitely do this, do that, and do it. Don't even do it a little bit the way you want to do it. I need you to do it exactly the way this tells you to do it. So I was in a little, you know, 5x5 box, and I thought it was the norm. So get out of the military, and I realized, okay, I learned some great principles in the military. I learned consistency, I learned commitment. I learned how to be fearless in the military. I learned a lot of stuff in the military. So I appreciate my military experience. But I was told what to do, and that wasn't me. Some people are cool with that. I'm not. Corporate America.
You had to conform to that.
Yeah, I had to conform to it. Corporate America. I was told what to do.
Right.
You know, how, you know, I was told, either given a set of criteria, this is what you do, this is what I need, this is what I'm going to pay you. It was the money thing that really bothered me the most, and it was my time, right? I didn't have the freedom, I didn't have the time and money. So I was making money, but we were paycheck to paycheck,
right.
Of course. So after I got out of corporate America, one of the things I've always told myself is I would never let anybody else make me conform to anything that I don't want to do. So I got to realize, I got to figure out who I am. Once I figure out who I am and what I offer.
Try telling me what to do.
Yeah, yeah,
do the
yeah.
complete opposite.
Yeah, the quickest thing to do for you to get me to do, if you want me not to do what, tell me I have to do.
Then
I can promise you I won't do it.
You say, you don't have to do anything, but breathe this breath and live, right?
I stay black and
die
black. That's all I got to do. So you guys are struggling with identity crisis.
Right.
And I think this, I honestly think, Pam, that this can be a three-part series that we deal with on the grind. So we're going to do another part to this at some point in time because there's so much involved.
Yeah.
And we're even going to take some questions from you guys, and we'll give you guys the website to go to actually put those questions in. And let's give it now. Go to meetthemcraze.com. Okay, and when you go to meetthemcraze.com, scroll all the way down, and guys, you'll see a comment section there. Put your question in there for us, and we'll get a notice that, you know, that you guys have put a question in, and from there we can bring that question to the show. If you want it to be anonymous, fine. If you want to put your name on it, put your name on it, and we'll say your name on the show.
Right.
Let us know what you want us to do. Okay, so identity crisis. Let's wrap that up, and then we'll get a little bit into identity.
Right. Well, I mean, when we think about identity crisis, we have to realize that a lot of it has to do with our characteristics,
mm-hmm.
has to do with, you know, the things that we are, the things that we become. You know, are you that person that, you know, is respectful, honesty, integrity? So there's a lot of characteristics that play into our identity of who we are and the things that we value in life. And as we value these things, of course, it becomes a part of our identity. Are you allowing fear to overtake you? Are you a worry wart? You know, I used to worry about everything until, for real, this phrase that you wear, IAO, improvise, adapt, and overcome, that absolutely changed my entire life because a part of my identity was I worried about everything. I stressed about everything. And we don't even realize it, and we allow ourselves to stress over these things that we really, if they're not in our control, what can we do about it? And once I got that, I began to realize that. And at first, I used to look at you like, you were crazy. I'd be like, I just need you to fix this, for real. I mean, you know, ladies, I think
some of that big control.
I just need you to fix this. Don't tell me improvise, adapt, and overcome. I need it fixed. But once I began to understand the power of those words, improvise, you say, baby, listen, and, you know, at the end of the day, nothing happens to us. Everything happens for us. We're going through this for a reason. Let's ride this wave. Let's learn from our mistakes. Let's grow. Let's become. And so as I really began to marinate on those words, improvise. Okay, improvise. Listen, you can't change it. You got to improvise. You got to be able to adapt. okay, you got, and once you begin to improvise and adapt, now you'll be able to overcome that situation. Mm-hmm. So, again, that was a characteristic that I had, which, again, I had control over, right? Because our identity is something that we become. And once we realize that we are able to become these things, some of the things are just our core values, right? We have these core values. They're instilled in us. And we grow in these things. Yeah, they're instilled, a lot of them, right? Absolutely. They're instilled in us. But some of these things, we have the power to control in order to change the situation, in order to become, in order to really identify with who we are, what God has created us to be. You see, we all were born with individual fingerprints, right? Nobody has the same fingerprint, right? So therefore, we all have our own identity. So therefore, we need to identify with self, right? Once we identify with self, but what ends up happening is we start to identify with everybody else, right? And that gets into that whole theft situation.
Right.
We start to identify with everybody else, not realizing the power that we have because we got these individual fingerprints that God created each and every one of us unique, designed in His greatness, magnificent.
That can be a word.
Right.
Magnificent.
Magnificent.
That is officially a word here on the grind. This is our space. You can make words.
Magnificent. Right? created for real of who He wants us to be. So we have to understand that the things that we do, the words that we speak, how we act, these are the things that define us. This is what becomes our identity. Our identity.
Right.
So therefore, if we're acting crazy, and we are, you know, whatever we do, okay, that becomes our identity.
So, and that's great. So, what do you say to the person that's sitting there listening to this right now, and they're saying, you know what, I'm a good person.
Uh-huh.
You know, I take care of my family. You know, I go to work every day. I do what I'm supposed to do. I try to treat people as I would like to be treated.
Right.
You know, I do everything right, but it seems like I'm not really getting ahead. I'm still in the same place that I was, and I don't really know how to get unstuck. And I want you to give, you know, your answer for that to help them get unstuck, because I know what I would say to them. But how would you help somebody that doesn't know their identity? How would you help them get unstuck? Because what they're doing right now is really the norm. Everything that everybody has told them they should do and who they should be, a great mother, a great father, you know, a great sister, all of that stuff. But what about them? How do they go deeper?
Well, they got to go deeper by, number one, taking the time to, you got to take the time to look at self.
Mm-hmm.
You have to. You got to take the time to look at that man in the mirror. Because until you slow down, because that's what I had to do. I had to realize, because I used to think that I was crazy. I used to think that I had no talents, no gifts, no nothing. You know, and I'm just here to get up every day and to do the same things, same old mundane things every single day. And then I began to realize, no. So I said, number one, I had to look at the man in the mirror. But before I could even do that, I had to want to change.
Right.
Okay? I had to want to change. And many times we don't want to change. We just end up accepting the status quo, right? We end up accepting the things that life has thrown us, accepting what people want to think about us, and allowing those things to meditate in our mind. But once I made a decision that I wasn't going to remain that person, once I decided to look at self and to realize the real reality, you got to do that reality check, mm-hmm. that man in the mirror, then I began to understand, okay, the only way to change things is for me to change things. So I got to do some different things. I got to take the time to focus on me. I got to take the time to make sure that I'm reading, I'm growing, and that I'm doing things daily, every single day, in order to become the person that I already am, right? In order to really begin to design the house of the blueprint that I've been given, this body that I've been given, everything is inside of me. It's all a matter of where am I going to place it? What am I going to put emphasis on on that particular moment in order to help it to grow, in order to help it to become? So, you know, I had to work on me.
Good.
So you got to work on you. You got to slow down. Stop giving up yourself to everybody else. Take the time to slow down and to figure out who you are, because otherwise you're just getting up and you're just moving. You're just existing, and you'll never figure out who you are and identify with who you are so that now you can become and do what you need to do for others, which is what life is all about.
So don't mistake movement for progress.
Right.
Yes.
A lot of times we can get up and we're just moving. And we're not progressing. Right. I know that was me for a long time, just getting up moving, right, and not accomplishing anything because I had to slow down and identify the fact that, you know what, there is a difference between movement and progress.
And there's a difference, is a difference when you do things for yourself and you do things for the approval of others.
Right.
As well. And getting to self, because a lot of people, you know, the people that really want to take from you most of the time are the people that are quickest to call you selfish.
Right.
You know, oh, you're so selfish. That's because you want to take from me, and I'm not giving you what you want. So you can't. So you're never going to hear me call anybody selfish, because that person has the right to do what they want to do with their time.
Right.
And nobody understands that between them and God. So when you really look at what Pam is saying, you have to take an assessment of where you are right now. If you don't take an assessment of where you are and understand that, okay, there are some things that I need to do, and there are some things that I need to cut out. There's some fat that I need to trim out of my life in order for me to start making progress, because some of you are carrying around so much weight and you can't even see yourself. You don't know who you are. You really don't know who you are underneath everything, right? Some of you leave the house in the morning and you put on dark shades, you put on a hat, and you put on a coat, and you put on everything, you know, you're everything that makes people think or view you as the way you want them to view you, as if you have it all together. And when you get home and you take all of that stuff off, then you realize, okay, this is who I really am, and it's hard to deal with that.
Right.
And when you start trying to deal with it, you know, people try to first deal with it publicly. You can't deal with it publicly first. You first have to deal with it privately. So that means what Pam is saying about looking at the man and the woman in the mirror, you have to take time to make an assessment of yourself and get mad at yourself and just say, you know what, it's time for me to make a decision and say, you know what, I got to do something different with my life. And you first got to say, I don't care what anybody else thinks about what I'm doing.
Right.
I got to do what's best for me, because when I'm in my prayer closet, nobody's telling me, nobody's hearing what I hear.
Right.
Right. Nobody's getting what I'm getting directly. And I believe in a direct link. Right. So there's the only person, person between them is you've got God, Jesus and God. Right.
That's right.
So the propitiation for our sins. So you got that direct link to the Father. So you got to know what you want, but you first got to spend that time. So now you spent that time, you know what you want. Nobody else knows that. Now you can start fixing what you need to fix inside, right? And nobody's going to understand it. And now from that point, Pam, we're going to get into, because now you know that you got to fix what you need to fix first at home, right? You got to fix the fear, all right? You got to fix the inconsistency. You got to fix the lack of commitment. You
got to
fix the bad health. You got to fix the bad mental, the bad attitude. Your character's out of whack because you're listening to the wrong things watching the wrong things on TV. You're listening to the wrong things in your ear. You're not building yourself up on the inside in order for it to even manifest itself on the outside. That's why we dress up and do the different things that we do to get outward approval.
Right.
Right. So I'm going to leave this topic, Pam, and I'm going to give you the opportunity to say something else. We're going to go right into identity theft really quickly.
Right. But you know what? Before we even get into the identity theft, let's talk about many times the reason why it is a crisis. You know, because a lot of times we don't even realize that the crisis begins to happen because of the fact that, you know, it's because of the world that we live in, right? So people start to conform to the world. People start to conform to what others want them to become. People, even when it comes time to social media. Like, for real. You know, there's such an identity crisis out there because people are looking at everybody else's life, right? Thinking that life is Gucci on every corner, right? Trying to become everybody else instead of realizing the value that you bring to the world, instead of realizing the value that God has placed on the inside of you. And so, therefore, everybody wants to be everybody else. Everybody wants everybody else's life. Everybody wants everybody else's lifestyle. But why is it? Well, we have a life to live, right? And so when you think about these are some of the things that's causing the crisis. Everybody wants to fit in, right? When really and truly, I talked about we all have our own fingerprints. So why are you trying to fit into something when God called us to create? We were called to create. So therefore, yes, there's going to be connection. There's going to be different things that you are going to connect and you're going to come together. As you now identify who you are and you're able to build relationships, but But if there's a crisis
right.
in your life, if you don't know who you are, it's going to overflow into every aspect of your life. And so many times we pay attention to some of the things. We're taking advice from the wrong people, right?
Right.
That don't even understand the values, the things that you believe in, right? So therefore, when you are able to identify the life that you have and you're able to stay true to who you are and the values that you have, then you won't have a crisis in your life. But it's a daily progress,
right?
It's a daily discovery, right? We talked about that word discovery, right, this morning, right? And discovering who we are on a daily basis and growing. And so a lot of times these are the things that begin to...
Well, nobody has arrived.
Right. Nobody has arrived. So we all
arrived. You look at everybody, and everybody is on a journey. And we talked about that. Life is just one big transition from day to day. When you understand that, then you don't get down on yourself.
Right.
You understand that you're growing every day. And when you're growing every day, you're not worried about what everybody else is doing. You're worried about building your foundation, beautiful one.
Right.
You know, so when we're talking about identity crisis, when we're talking about becoming other things for other people, you know, we get into that's really voluntary because you have to control it to change it.
Right.
So if you let other people into your control room, then you get what you deserve. Because you just let them in to control your life. There are people that are trying to help you, and there are people that are trying to handle you. Right.
Ooh.
You have to deal with the people that are trying to help you. And nobody's dumb. OK, you know, when somebody's trying to handle you and when somebody's trying to help you.
Right.
Right? There's not. It's almost a selfless act. People want to see you do better. Right.
Right.
And just for nothing else than the appreciation of saying, you know what? I helped you discover something about yourself. It's
right.
a good feeling to help somebody discover who they are.
It is.
Right. But most people aren't willing to allow people in, the right people in, to help them. Right. And it's those for me, I'm going to tell you how I really sense it. When I'm talking about something or somebody and I really feel good about it, I get these goosebumps. Right. And I can feel them raise up on my arm. And that tells me that to me, I think that's God telling me you're in a good place.
Mm-hmm.
Right. Stay right there. Right. So I kind of feel that's why I always say I'm a chemistry guy.
Right.
Right. Because I believe in chemistry. If I don't feel an attraction to whatever it is that I'm doing, if I don't feel it here, I'm not going to do it.
Right. It's not going to do it just
because. So the identity theft part is we roll right into that because identity theft is when you allow somebody else in your control room.
Mm-hmm.
Right. And when they get in your control room,
that's the problem.
You know, first of all, you sometimes you let them in. Sometimes they bogart their way in, right? But you still know they're there. Nobody, I don't even believe that people don't know that people are in their lives and it doesn't feel right to them. There's something that just doesn't feel right, and you got to pay that attention, right? If it doesn't feel right, it's probably not right. So when somebody's in your control room, fam, and they're trying to tell you what to do, and you know when they're trying to tell you what to do to make you become the person that they want you to be, as opposed to the person that God created you to be. Because on this hand, only you know the person that God created you to be.
Right.
Only you know.
Right. Only you know that.
But when you allow somebody else to come in and tell you who they think you should be, and then you sacrifice this part that God told you to be, and this right here for what they're telling you, for some other ulterior motive, then that's a problem.
That is a problem. And a lot of times we can allow that to happen because we don't we have that identity crisis going on. But just like when we talked about that whole getting it direct, right?
Mm-hmm.
We get it direct. And the people that come into your life that God has intended to come into your life in order to help you to move forward, they understand that, you know what, everybody has the different fingerprints. We all have a different purpose, but they are going to enhance and help to elevate what God has already given you, you know, what God has already shown you. And many times we forget about that. And then
right.
that's what ends up happening. We start to mold into something that God was not created us to be or attaching ourselves to things that we should have never attached ourselves to, right? That's where we all make mistakes, right?
Yeah.
Right? Not having the right discernment, right? That's one of the things that I'm thankful for because I can say that when it comes time to discernment, God will immediately, you know, when you're in tune with spiritually, God will give you the discernment. We've been through so much when it comes on a whole other level, right? You get that discernment because you, for real, are listening to the voice of the Holy Spirit within. You may not be the most liked person. You may not have, a lot of things, but I can tell you, because of that level of discernment, and you begin to really pay attention to what God wants you to do and not what everybody else wants you to do, because it's easy to do that. And now you look up and you got this crisis going on, but...
And somebody's stealing from you
right
in front of you, but you're too afraid to do anything because you're paralyzed, because you think this person has your best interest at heart. And they don't. They're there trying to take for themselves in the disguise that I'm giving to you. And they're really not. Because a lot of people are saying, you know what, I'm trying to get something for myself, but I'm trying to make you, on this hand, trying to make you feel like it's for you, and it's not for you. No, it's, you're trying to take something from me. You have to be able to discern that. And I'm going to say something, and I would say it would piss somebody off, but I don't think it will. I'm going to say it's going to be an epiphany. And a lot of you guys say, you know, you see me, you're saying, okay, you know, I'm a no-nonsense type guy. You know, I've learned to have some gray. I just learned not to let my gray, you know, overpower my rationality, right? So I'm not just going to be super sympathetic to something and then sacrifice what I'm trying to do. So with me, one of my realities is I had to understand my power. I had to understand that God created me for greatness, right? Pam's not the only person that God created.
Right, right.
You know what I'm saying? I'm not the only person that can improvise, adapt, and overcome.
Yeah, right.
You know, it's just our mind. Right? So when I realize that, when I talk about the direct link, I'm going to tell you something. For me, we call ourselves discovery coaches, okay? That means we want to help you discover who you are, all right? Not tell you who you are. If we can help you discover who you are, and that's by really being a coach that confirms. Guys, we're not talking about, right here, we're not talking about teaching you how to play football, basketball, baseball. We're talking about teaching you the mental game. We're talking about teaching you how to feel with this and how to move forward in life and be prosperous and be successful and see that success is on a lot of different levels. You gotta access the little things and be grateful for the little things. We're trying to teach you that, but we're trying to confirm it. We're not trying to tell you what to do. A good coach confirms, okay? It doesn't dictate. A good coach confirms something that you've already been told.
That's kind of like, well, I keep wanting to go to the church with this.
No, but good. I'm going to let you bring that home. But I want y'all to really, really get this, okay? I want you to really get this. Because I talk about the direct link all the time. And I keep saying, ain't nobody dumb. All right? Y'all understand that if you call yourself spiritual, you sister this, brother that, you know, you say, I know God. And God is, you know, God is my healer. He's my redeemer. All of that. Some of y'all can be super spiritual. You got a direct. If you say you have a direct link to God, you spend time with God, speaking with Him, talking with Him every day in your prayer closet. How do you not know the direction for your life? And
right.
If you know the direction for your life, why do you need somebody to continually coach you and tell you the direction for your life? I don't want that job. I want to teach you to have a direct link with God. And when you get the direct link, I give you confirmation. Pam gives you confirmation. Look, listen, learn, and lead. I'm not here to lead you into something I don't know. I have to listen to you. Pam had to listen to you. That's why I listen more than I talk. If somebody's saying something, I want to listen because I need to know who you are. I need to know where you are. I need to know what's holding you back. What's making you the you that you are right now? What have you done today to get you where you are?
Right.
And at that point, I have to determine, okay, do we need to back up a little bit to fix something in the past? Because it's okay, you got to back up to fix it when the wheels go off, right?
Right.
So get the wheels back on. Now let's move back forward.
Right.
So now I'm going to help you with that. And once we get there, we're good. Now you have a solid foundation. But until that foundation it moves from quicksand to concrete or steel, as you're going to continue to sink, and people are going to continue to take from you, because you don't need. I have the best coach in the world. I have the best coach.
Yes.
His name is God.
I know that's right.
Honestly, I'm just going to tell y'all, I get my coaching directly from Him, and because I have a direct link. We have to stop saying, I love the Lord. We have to stop saying, I love God, I'm led by God, everything, boom. But we're not, because we're not spending time.
Right. And that's where it all comes from, that spending time piece. Yeah. And you know it and realizing that you have that direct link. And, you know, and I just have to go back and, you know, as I listen to you talk, I'm just thinking about different situations when I say I'm going, you know, with the church and understanding that discernment and just from the different things that we've been through where we had to for real realize, you know, that we had that direct link. Otherwise, we would have been tossed and turned into so many different situations. So many people don't realize, but Nate and I, we've done it all. Like, you know, we, when it comes time to ministry, children's church ministry, Nate was a praise team leader. Y'all know he got a voice. Praise team leader. Go figure. He allowed me to be on the praise team, right? Right. He allowed me to be on the praise team, but he drowned me out with some really good voices. But we were over the marriage ministry, singles ministry. I was over the children's ministry. I mean, just so many different things. Deacons, all kinds of stuff.
Yeah, finance,
everything, right? And but I can tell you that we were in so many situations where people didn't understand that direct link. Right? They didn't understand the direct link. But we, because of the time, because of us spending time and God giving us that level of discernment, we weren't probably not the most light in the church. Mm-hmm. But I'm gonna tell you, everybody paid attention because they saw the difference. They saw that, you know what, everything that was being said to be done, we weren't doing it because if God didn't give us that direct link, we didn't have that direct connection, we were the ones who were like, we ain't doing that, okay? And so, but that all has to do with that direct link and that discernment and that identity and knowing that everything brings when it comes time to it, that confirmation to understanding that you're going to now be put in situations, you're going to be given vehicles, you're going to connect with people that bring confirmation into your life, not who try to conform you and try to shape you into something that you're not supposed to become. And when we begin to realize this, and we are now able to identify with who we are because we're spending that time, we're listening, right? We're asking, right? Because when we ask, then we'll be given. We're now seeking, right? So that we can find. And now that we're knocking, the doors are beginning to open because we're able to now listen and now understand who we are so that now nobody can creep in. Nobody can steal and take.
Yeah,
right
yeah.
Now, nobody can take your identity, and now you're not a victim of identity theft. And many times we talk about that victim too, right? Because you can be a victim of identity theft and now allow that to control you for the rest of your life. But now you got to know and understand that you have the power to turn that thing around. Stop being the victim and now turn it around to being the victor so that now you are able to really identify and know exactly who you are so that you don't find yourself in a crisis time and time and time again.
Right. And being afraid of people.
Right.
You being afraid of somebody.
Right.
To tell somebody what God has said is best for your life.
Right.
Okay. If you have somebody that you're afraid of, to tell them, okay, this is, that ain't what I need right now. I need this. And you know you got to have a direct link first. Okay?
Right.
If you don't have a direct link, then you should be praying, you know, for that direct link. And it's easy to establish. All you got to do is start praying. Start asking God, for, you know, God, give me direction. And I promise you, it starts to happen, right? So you start getting the direction for your life and you know that it's not you in there, right? It's all God. Then you're going in the right direction. And don't be afraid to tell anybody what you're going to do and what you're not going to do.
Right.
Because you look up and you'll be 70, 80 years old and you've done everything that everybody else
wanted you to do.
And you don't even know about you. And God has given you all of this grace to be there. So guys, when we come back after this song, we can go on and on about this because this is something that's real life. We always say that we're not going to talk about it unless we are about it, unless we've done it, we're experiencing it, we've already experienced it. So it's got to be in us to come out of us. So right back after this song, guys, we're going to talk about, give you guys the relationship as well, and we're going to close out the identity crisis piece for today because I do believe that this is a crisis in the world, and people need to understand how to get past it. And there are individual things that people may need help with that we can try to help you guys with. All right, so guys, right after this call, after this song, we'll be right back, all right? Remember, you must be close because...
I must be close to my destiny
extremely close to my victory, cause here comes trials and troubles, jealousy and envy. I must be close to what you have for me. I must be close to my overflow, extremely close to my miracle. Cause here comes confusion, problems, and enemies. I just believe that I must be close to what you have for me. So much is given, so much is required. Be qualified, must go through the fire, but I won't smell like smoke. I'll be better than.
Honestly, I love that song, Marvin Sapp, man. You must absolutely be close to it because a lot of things are starting to happen to you, but some of you don't understand it, right? So let's wrap up this part, guys, and we're going to go right into the relationship for you guys, because let's just recap a little bit on what we talked about today, because, you know, our heart is really to help you bridge that gap from understanding what your identity crisis is, understanding that you do have an identity crisis first. And, you know, because a lot of you have that feeling that you haven't actually, achieved what you wanted to achieve. And you're not going to think that you are exactly where you should be all the time, right? Because it's a transition. So, you know, when we started in the very beginning of this thing, we talked about the identity crisis.
Right.
And, you know, the identity crisis being you not knowing, you know, where you are, who you are, and what you're supposed to do here. And we told you how to get unstuck, you know, by having a conversation with yourself and being real with yourself and basically saying, you know what, I need help. I need to figure out who I am and getting that direct link from God and getting the wrong people out of your life and letting the right people in your life. And it's okay for you to be the only person in your control center. It's okay. You know, you don't have to have other people in your control center because, quite honestly, guys, you should be very, very meticulous about who you let into your control center. And I'll say this. Let me tell you guys how passionate I am about this. Those of you that know, all of my tattoos actually have a meaning, right? So, and most people's tattoos, I'm not the only guy with tattoos with meanings, right? But all of my tattoos have a meaning. And when you look at, this tattoo, all right? When you look at this tattoo, guys, this tattoo is my control center, okay? Because this is IAO and this is the grind, guys. All right. So this is my control center right here, okay? This is me. This is all me. This is where I control what I do. And all around this, guys, if you see the red, is me basically saying, I'm not letting you in my control center. Keep out, okay? Keep out.
Awesome.
Unless I let you in, you're not getting in here,
okay?
So all of this is to keep you out. These are the different levels of keeping you out. guys, and everything here is all about me protecting my energy, right? So my energy, even this band, is constantly moving forward. I want to constantly be moving forward. And everybody has their own things that they do to actually, you know, remind themselves of what God created them to be and the direction that they should go. Whatever it is, you got to find something that constantly reminds you.
Absolutely, you do. And so whatever that is, whatever that constant reminder is, make sure that you keep it in front of you. Because it's going to be the very thing that as you're discovering who you are, you're realizing the values that you have, that you've been instilled with. You're now becoming all that you can become. You're now able to really fully grow into these things and not allow yourself to be taken, not allow yourself to be the victim of identity theft, and really knowing that it's just certain things that you got to do every day in order to become, you know, what you were already created to be. You know, for me, it's that butterfly. Once I identified and I began to really understand that I do have value, that I do have a purpose, and that I was, you know, this caterpillar that literally was just waiting to grow, you know? And so I allowed myself to be in that caterpillar stage for way too long. But once I discovered that, you know what, I was meant to sprout them wings. Mm-hmm. Once I discovered that that everything was just processed, and so I had to go through that cocoon. I had to go through everything, you know, in order to become that butterfly so that one day I could become beautiful and bright. So that other people can see you, which is now impact, because we all have a story. We all go through certain things for a reason, because we're designed to come out of those things. We're designed to discover who we are. We're designed to know who our identity is, know what our identity is, so that now we can impact and we can fly and we can share. We can let others know that, listen, I've been through this too. I can relate to you too. And all of us have our own identities, our own purpose, in which we have certain people that we're going to connect with in life, in which now we're supposed to fly and be that butterfly in order to live by example, lead by example, and now, you know, just do what we were called to do, which is our purpose.
The purpose.
Yeah.
And look, and something hit me, guys. I mean, I realized something. I actually did a show a while back on this. It's about transformation. And if you realize what Pam was talking about, you know, Pam has a tattoo of a butterfly on her back, right? And it's her symbol. It's symbolic for her. So everybody has their own thing. So when you think about a caterpillar, when you see a caterpillar crawling on the ground, it's moving very, very slow. And and honestly, most of you are going to step on it or something. You're going to be afraid of it, even though it's moving super slow.
They're so ugly.
Yeah, you don't. Yeah, they're ugly,
they're
right? You don't
want.
That's how you feel about it, right? You don't want it creeping up and you look down and it's on your pants, right? But what happens when that caterpillar finally says, you know what, my process is, you know what, I got to turn into a butterfly, but I got to go through my metamorphosis.
Right.
Because that's what it is. It's a transformation, a metamorphosis. What goes on in that cocoon, guys, is like ingestion of different become that butterfly. But it's twofold. That cocoon is to hide the metamorphosis, because for it to keep the metamorphosis safe from other predators, right? Because they don't, it just looks like something hanging there. And the other piece, the most important piece, guys, is why I tell you, get private with it, okay? Get in your prayer closet, get where you are, because people can't handle seeing your transformation stage. They can't handle it. If they see what you're doing in your transformation stage, and you're telling them, well, you know, I'm doing this, and all of a sudden, they're going to feel envious. They're going to feel as if you're doing something that they're not. Right? Goes back into my book. I talk about having the right people around you as well. But they're going to get envious. And that's what they got. What Marvin Sapp said, I must be close, because we got jealousy. We got envy. We got all of these things that people are giving you because you're doing something right. You're metamorphosis. So when that ingestion of different body parts to create the leg and the wings come out, right? And now all of a sudden you bust out that cocoon, how many of you are going to feel nasty and icky if a butterfly lands on your shoulder? You're going to be like, oh, that's beautiful.
It's so beautiful.
You even want to catch it, right? So the butterfly can flap its wings and go wherever it wants to see and show its beauty. You don't want that caterpillar. You don't even want to see him transforming. What I'm trying to tell you guys, I'm not trying to tell you guys to be a hermit. But what I am telling you is that understand that people aren't ready to see your transformation stage, your metamorphosis. But you have to go into that cocoon that says, this is what I'm doing for me. All right? I'm doing this for me. When I come out of this, it'll be for everybody else. Right? So I'm doing this, and you ain't going to like this stage. You didn't like the obese me, but you're going to love the healthy me. You see what I'm saying? You didn't like the mentally unstable me, but you're going to love the stable me, the one that's doing what they should be doing. You're going to love that person because it first and foremost serves me. So nobody wants to see the transformation. Keep that, guys, and go through it. Be consistent and grinding. You don't have to show everybody every little thing because, quite honestly, God, they can't handle that transformation, right? So when you come out as a butterfly is when now you can fly high. We always talk about personal development and doing the necessary things that are going to build the foundation so that you can step on step to step.
You're not going to see every step.
Right.
Keep on
so the higher you rise, the more people are able to see you. You're called to a higher calling.
Right.
And a lot of people will say that.
Right.
But they don't understand why they're saying it. Because you're going to take the hit. When you start rising, the gravity is going to grab you.
Right.
When you know who you are, the identity, the gravity is going to start grabbing you. And that's everybody else that's trying to pull you back down to where they are.
Right. That's the truth.
So let's jump into the relationship, you know.
For the day.
So
that everybody can be on their day, right?
Right. So we're going to take a few more minutes, man, because I think this is important, too. This show is an hour, but we can go over.
Oh, freedom.
It's just freedom. And, you know, there are people that jump on that need to hear certain things. So we hope that it can help somebody, you know, at some point in time.
Right.
So as far as the relationship is concerned, man, one of the, when we talk about the relationship, the relationship piece, get the camera going here, it's being awesome. When we talk about the relationship piece, guys, it's really about a lot of things that you put together as a couple. And when you start pulling certain things together and understanding what makes you flourish as a couple, there are some things that are right at the forefront. Right? And we already talked about the attraction piece, you know, last week, and we get into all of that. But the communication piece.
Oh, that's key.
The communication piece is key. And I want to say this. Before I let Pam come in, I'm going to be transparent. Maybe this is just me, okay? But I may get some fellas that hear this later and they get it and they want to be transparent too. I don't know. Maybe I'll just own it because I can't change it till I own it. So, and I thought about this a while back, quite some time ago. And I realized as a man, I have a short attention span. Right? I do. I mean, I don't need that much. I mean, I need to be stimulated.
Right?
It's just a little quick thing that I need. The longevity of it and yada, it's just a little, I need to be stimulated because I have a short attention span. Right? So that's why I can go. That's why I made this show unscripted.
Right.
Because I didn't want to have to look at notes and read verbatim on things because I like to ebb and flow.
Right.
And I need somebody that can ebb and flow with me and say what's on the inside and not be structured and stigmatized by what's on the outside, feeling that you got to say certain things.
Right.
You know, so when the communication comes into play, I need to communicate what I like and who I am to Pam. Right. And Pam has to do the same. And in the beginning of the relationship, it's the easiest. Right. But there are some of you out there that didn't communicate some things in the beginning of the relationship.
Right.
You allow some things to happen. And this is going to bless somebody. You allow some things to happen. You went through some stuff. You made some major sacrifices, some major conformities that you've done, and it's taken you out of character.
Right.
It's taken you out of who you really want to be. And so now you look at your life. Yeah, now you look at your life as one big sacrifice. I've sacrificed all of this for you, and now I feel like I don't want to do that anymore. I never really liked doing that, right? So you didn't communicate in the beginning. So now here you are feeling some kind of way. You had a mask on, but you had good intentions.
Right, you had good intentions.
Because you wanted to keep the relationship together. You know, so you just sat there and took a lot.
Oh, you see what you want to see.
Right, you see what you want to see or whatever. But the communication piece is some of you, I said it's okay to tear down an old, raggedy, decrepit house and rebuild it. Mm. It's okay. All right, but this time rebuild it together.
Right.
Communicate. Right. Sit your spouse down and communicate with your spouse and say, you know, can we open the lines of communication?
Absolutely.
Right? Can we say, and then say, you know, what person's going to tell you, no, I want to open line of communication? And you
right.
probably should run.
Right, you should really
person,
run.
Right?
Because that's a relationship you should
be in. Yeah, you should be in, right?
So when you start this process, right, this person's going to need to be open to receiving as well as they're open to giving, right? So when they're trying to, when you're telling them what it is that you maybe don't like, it's not what you say.
It's just how you say it.
Right? If
oh
you say,
goodness.
Let me just tell you something. I just hate the way you do that when you do that to me.
Right.
They're sort of going to get, oh, hold on a second. Hold on.
Right. It's all about,
it's all about how
you
say it. And you can have a rational conversation and say, you know what, it makes me feel some kind of way, you know, when you say this to me or you treat me that way. And that, you know, I can tell you how I like to see it. Or you can tell me whether or not it's something that you are willing to do.
And then you got to listen.
Then you listen.
Listen.
Look, listen, learn, and believe.
Right.
So open your mind to communication.
Yeah, communication is everything in a relationship, in anything that you do. Mm-hmm. You know, I mean, not just in marriage, but in anything that you do, marriage, partnership, relationship, business, whatever, you know, there has to be communication. Because communication is what's going to be that bridge that connects everything together.
Right.
You know, it really is. It's that bridge that connects everything together. And whereas that communication may not be, you're not going to always hear, you may not always like what's being said, mm-hmm. but just like we said, you have to listen. Because if you don't have that frequency, that level of communication, what's going to end up happening is you start to feel some kind of way. Right, you start to begin to lose yourself, right? Mm-hmm. That identity gets lost because you're afraid to talk about the things that are on your heart,
right?
And so now, because you're afraid to talk about the things that's on your heart, it ends up creating the type of situation where, you know, you got the drawbridge, that bridge starts to go up. that bridge starts to go up. And now there's a disconnection, it's no longer connected. And you just sitting there, and at the end of the day, now your paths are no longer, you know, aligned to where you could even be able to accomplish the things that you desire to accomplish together because you've lost that level of communication. And so,
right.
You know, we learned that early on.
Yeah, I mean, when we got married, honestly, and this is story. This is funny because when we first got married, you know, we got married. How old were you?
19.
You were 19.
20.
I was 20, right? And it was really for me, I was attracted to Pam physically. And then as I started to talk to her, I started to be attracted to her mentally. So it wasn't love at first sight, it was attraction at first sight. And people always say love at first sight. You know, you may love the way a person looks.
Right.
And that's cool. If you want to say that, but I just say I was attracted to her and I wanted to get to know her. So when I got to know her, I fell in love with her. And as I fell in love with her, I realized that, you know, I'm in the military and I realized, I'm like, man, I said, you know, I love my freedom. I wanted to make sure that I didn't sacrifice who I was.
Right.
Right. And because if I was sacrificing who I was, I just wasn't interested in that. So I decided at that point in time that I really wanted to still be able to go out and do certain things. I wanted to come home when I wanted to come home. You know, I wanted, man, I'm like, you know, this woman don't tell me what to do.
Right.
You know, and y'all got, I'm going to be straight up with y'all. Pam was that woman and she still is, but Pam would, if I was in the bathroom, and this is, I'm going to get transparent on you. If I was in the bathroom, using the bathroom, Pam would come in and sit on the sink. Right. And I would be like, she'd be like, yeah, she'd just start talking, you know, but that's just how it was. But when it got to a point where I felt like I needed some space, you know, I started to do certain things. And Pam was very resentful of that, right?
Right. Oh, yeah. Yeah, no, I wasn't happy about that. So you know why I said, listen, this ain't gonna work. I never forget, right? I remember saying, you know what? I'm done. I'm going home. I'm going back to my mom and my daddy. I ain't got time for this, for real.
Right.
And I packed my bag, right? And they came home. He's like, where you going? I said, I'm leaving, okay? I ain't got time for this. I am
man,
done.
Man, I was in the military. I was cranking up something.
Right, I'm like, I'm done.
Man,
we
were fighting every night.
You got me out here away from my family out in Killeen, Texas. What the heck is a Killeen, Texas, right? No disrespect. But I'm like, what is this? I'm from New Jersey. Jersey girl out here in the country. Don't worry about it, right?
Yeah.
I was ready to go home. You know, you called your mom,
you're
like, mom,
that's
crazy.
You know what I'm saying? But my mom is so, she's like, you know what, that's my daughter, you're my son.
Right.
You know, what are you doing?
It.
I don't, y'all gotta work it out. You know, I'm not taking your side,
right.
And I'm not taking her side.
And that's how we love early on. Don't ever, ever bring anybody into your relationship,
right?
It's so, what you got,
yeah,
you
so
got,
you
right?
You gotta learn to
take
it.
Right then, I don't want to hear.
Make it work. and I'm that person, you know, I always told Pam, I said, don't, I'm never going to beg you to stay with me.
Right.
And
then I used to be like, what, you don't love me?
You don't care about me?
You just going to let me walk out the door?
And the way I feel about it, if you walk out, I'm not a chaser.
Then you told me something,
yeah.
You said, you know, you told me that I would let you leave because I love you so much.
Right.
And I want you to be happy. Yeah.
And that's when I, at that moment, I think it was that argument. I think it was that time when we realized that, you know what, we're really going to be together for the rest of our lives.
Right.
Because when I told her that, I said, you know, and it wasn't me trying to do a Jedi mind trick on her. It was me just being honest, saying, you know, whatever you want to make you happy. Now, I was still fearful of losing my wife. You know, I was like, what the world? You know, I don't want to lose her, but I don't want to keep her either if she feels that way. And
right.
I wasn't even in that mindset the way I was saying, you know, baby, look, I'm sorry, you know, and I'm not going to do this anymore.
No.
I'm not going to do that anymore. No, because I still wanted my liberty at that time.
Nate.
I still wanted to do what I wanted to do, you know. But when she told me she was leaving, I was like, you know, well, you know, we need a ride to the airport.
Right.
You know. But she decided at that point, you know what, this man is not going to try and, you know, stop me, so I'm just going to stay and chill. And at that point in time is when everything started to mellow out.
That's what we
did. You know, we just said, forget it.
Right.
So I realized that I had a certain level of accountability. And to her, and so did she with me. So we needed to be able to communicate with one another and to be able to do this thing the right way. So we started to open the lines of communication, and things started to get better and better
right.
as we did that. And you know, that's why I know her so well. She knows me so well. And people do tend, you know, to grow apart sometimes, right? But the people grow apart because they stop communicating.
Right.
You stop, and let's just bring it to where it is. There may be certain things mentally that you like that stimulate you that you're not getting anymore. There may be certain things sexually that you like that you're not getting anymore, that you may be determined that, okay, now I like that. I think that's good to try whatever, but you don't express it because you feel as if, okay, maybe it's too late for all that.
Right.
You know, and it's not to communicate it. That way the person knows that you like it, you know, and this is what you want. Not giving ultimatums at this point. But I think we have what we call deal breakers. What's the deal breaker in your relationship,
mm-hmm.
right? If a person is spending a whole bunch of money and with no regard to the family, you know, and doing whatever they want to do, that's a problem.
Right.
You have to fix that.
You got to fix
right?
it.
Some of you guys are great with finances. Your spouse may not be, mm-hmm. right? You should be the person that governs, but the person that watches over the money. Right? So
they got a problem.
Because they got a problem. So they get that problem fixed. It's okay.
Right.
You got to sit down and talk about, baby, I'm not that good with money, so I need you to govern it for right now. Watch over it to make sure that I'm not spending all the money or whatever the case may be. Whoever
right.
it is.
Right.
Right? So I'm talking to somebody, but you guys got to communicate that.
That's
bring it all together, right?
Mm-hmm.
So the communication is key, guys, and don't be afraid to sit down with your spouse and talk to them about what's going on. You know, in your life, and just like you figure out what's going on in their life, then they you need to be ready to figure out what's going on in his life, right? Figure out what's going on in her life.
Right.
So it's an open line, guys. So
open line of communication. Don't let that bridge go up. All right.
Right, right.
Communicate. All right. Come bridge together.
So this show happens every Tuesday and Thursday at 9 a.m. Eastern Standard Time. Tell somebody about the grind. Guys, go to meetthemcraze.com. Meetthemcraze.com. Remember, drop your questions in there. We'll get them, and we'll be able to bring them on the next show and answer your questions, whatever they may be. You know, cruise around our website. Some things on there that you want to see, guys. And, you know, we'll be going over the vision of the grind on the next show to tell you guys exactly, you know what our vision is, like we did on the first show.
That's right.
As well.
And remember, if you want to dial into the show, y'all remember the number, 646-668-2564. And you'll be able to raise your hand and ask your questions live.
Right.
All right. So that's it for the grind for this Tuesday morning. Super excited about being back with you on Thursday at 9 a.m. Eastern Standard Time. And as we close out this relationship, right?
Yeah.
Can we just talk? Can we just talk about where we're going before we get lost? Let me out first. Can't get where we go without knowing. I've never felt like this before. I apologize if I'm moving too far. Can we just talk? Started off right, I can see it in your eyes. I can tell that you wantin' more. What's been on your mind? There's no reason we should hide. Tell me something I ain't heard before. Oh, I've been dreaming about it, and it's you I'm on. So stop thinking about it. Can we just talk? Can we just talk? Can we just talk? Can we just talk? Figure out where we're growing. Penthouse view, left some flowers in the room. I'll make sure I leave the door unlocked. Now I'm on the way, swear I won't be late. I'll be there by 5 o'clock. Oh, you've been dreaming about it, and I'm what you want. So stop thinking about it. Can we just talk? Can we just talk about it?
Y'all, first day. All right. God bless y'all.